The Money Show.
The Markets.
Well, terrible day on markets. We'd had a better day for the currency. The currency was quite substantially better off against the euro, the dollar and the pound today after a sharp sell-off over the last 10 days or so. I call it the Ray White effect. You let him in charge and currency falls out of bed. It's scientifically proven. And then, of course, stock markets have taken a walloping. Norman McKechnie, portfolio manager at Momentum Asset Management. It's a brutal place right now, stock markets, not only here, but I think in many parts of the world, Norman.
Bruce, it is. I think we sort of chatted about this before, and I think not much comment has been given to the fact that while we've got a federal open market committee that's a Fed meeting tomorrow, what we have seen them do is withdraw almost half a trillion. $460 billion out of their own money market, and that's resulted in a stronger dollar. And as a consequence, we've seen our currency weaken, and we've seen commodities come off, or at least some pressure there. Obviously, China is another factor in the equation, but that's what's really sort of behind this whole lot. You've got to look at liquidity. Liquidity is what drives markets, and it's not only the amount of money, it's the velocity of money. And as you push up interest rates, the velocity of money slows down. And that's what I think we've seen. That happened last week, early last week, and that's really been what's impacted markets.
I mean, we look at the U.S. and its stated intention of taking more and more money out of the bond market. $500 billion so far, they will continue. Does this mean then that the Rand, which has had such a spectacular rally over the last 6 months or so, that that party is definitively over by now?
I think, Bruce, you probably, you know, in the short term, clearly it's been impacted. I think, you know, it's always difficult to call. My own view would be, you know, they've taken this money out, and you probably find as they raise interest rates, they'll put it back in, albeit sort of surreptitiously or without much fanfare. So I think it's just the management of this whole thing. I mean, the dollar, if you look at the dollar now, you know, if you look at the dollar index, as they call it, that was trading at sort of 94-ish, it's 103. Or if you look at against the euro, that, you know, it's almost sort of moved from 112 to 105. So it's sort of 6-7% move. And I think on top of that, you've had China, which has weakened in terms of what's come out of their, in terms of their service industry slowing down, manufacturing. We all know that they've shut down very aggressively, Shanghai and now Beijing. And that's impacted manufacturing, exports, etc. And obviously that means the demand for commodities, which those exports would absorb, has come off. And that's probably meant that any currency that produces those commodities has weakened. And I think sentiment has been against us. I think the one positive we have here is China. And China is, they have dropped their reserve rate requirement. And what that is just literally, if you put a deposit with a bank, how much money the bank has to retain. And with them dropping this, it means the banks can lend out more and more money in terms of the deposits that come in. And again, if we go to that liquidity statement that I opened with, it means that there's more liquidity that's likely to flow into China. In their economy. Clearly, with COVID lockdowns, I imagine you get through that in the next month, 6 weeks. And then they probably will cut interest rates further. I think there's also been, and you've commented on your show a number of times about the fact that they've had the sort of common prosperity comments, and they've targeted things like NASPERS and gaming and education stocks, and we've seen those stocks come off fairly sharply. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see interest rates come off. We see this reserve rate requirement, more liquidity in markets, and less of the comments. They need to get growth up. Growth is now sort of below 5%. They did have a target of 5.5. They need to get onto it in terms of moving. They've got another Chinese Communist Party meeting. I think that's in September. I think I'm not too sure. It's certainly one of the anniversaries, whether it's the fifth year or whatever. It is substantial, and they want to have an economy that will be picking up. So I think that's probably China will be our saving grace here. I think also the U.S. don't necessarily want to see a dollar continuing to strengthen as it has.
Would they not, Norman? We've got that same dichotomy in South Africa where we've got a massive export industry. Our resources players do so much better when the rand is weaker, but then every time they import a piece of equipment, it costs them a bit more, and we try and find a happy medium for the value of the currency. And it occasionally visits that happy medium, but not for very long. Why would the United States not want a stronger dollar?
Well, I think it obviously impacts on their competitiveness. I mean, they do manufacture, there's obviously a lot of software services, that type of thing, which they, need. Services would be local. In terms of manufacture, there'd be a lot of export. In terms of a lot of those service industries, you've obviously got things like software, whether it's Microsoft or what they charge for the cloud, et cetera. And a stronger dollar is going to mean if you pay for any of those sort of services, where you've got an Apple phone and you buy extra storage, while they quote you in rand currently, it's likely that price will move up in time because it's dollar priced. So it's all about relative competitiveness. I think, if you're sitting in Europe, you're not too fazed by that because it means that what you're exporting is a lot more competitive. I won't go into the detail, but China is a big part of the absorption of exports from places like Germany. But, I think to an extent, the dollar clearly helps, but you don't want it to, trend, let's say, to parity because you then will have, it'll start to impact your export sector. And so, it's a bit of a sort of a toss-up in terms of how things move. I think the bottom line is you don't want things to move too aggressively too quickly.
And I suppose that's good news for us because we're in the receiving end of this huge volatility, these huge moves, this huge spikes in the value of the dollar. We should perhaps not panic then too much by the velocity and the ferocity of the volatility that we're seeing.
I think, Bruce, if you look at it, I think, clearly we've had markets come off, and you look at some of the price action, I think there's, I'm talking now things like the NASDAQ, clearly there's some cause for concern. We've had a fairly sharp derating in markets. So if you look at your growth stocks, the PEs have come off in the year to date almost 30%. So there has been a strong derating. Earnings are only probably up sort of 5% or so, and hence the market is off almost sort of 20. It's probably not quite that, but that just squares the math. And I think if you look at it, you've now got, if you go back 2 years ago, and I think the whole inflation story, it's a monetary, inflation is a monetary phenomenon. So we started to print money when we had the pandemic. We take the U.S. as an example. U.S. GDP, $20 trillion, they basically put QE, which was the money where they actually bought bonds, and then also the wage support. That liquidity was $5 trillion, so 25% of the of GDP. And then if you look at what Milton Friedman always talked about, inflation always being a monetary phenomenon, that takes about 2 years to come through. And, where are we now? 2 years down the track, what's happening? Inflation is increasing. So I think as they moderate this, in other words, the amount of liquidity they put into markets, we should see inflation normalize. I mean, on top of that, again, on your show, you've had a number of people talking about the logistics issues. In other words, everyone cut back. You take a group like Fushini, whatever, a year or so ago, they cut their working capital by over $1 billion. Rand, that is, and then as things normalize, you need to build that back, and everyone's trying to do that at once. And this the signal that you've sent to your manufacturers, whether in Vietnam, China, Cambodia, Bangladesh, and locally, is that we slowed things down. Now everyone's got to gear up, and there's this sort of waiting game, or it takes time. So people charge more because there's less of a supply, and then the other issue is just the transport, the containers, etc., and shipping. Which added to costs. I think that's now coming out of the equation. And then the oil price. We all know with the Ukrainian issue what that's done. So there's been a number of issues that have contributed towards inflation. Some of them will start to come off, but inflation, while it was talked about being transitory, given those factors, it's probably likely to be with us for a good part of the year, but it's likely to come down as well as we move into the latter part of the year. Growth also slowing will mean less demand for fuel, so we probably anticipate the price of petrol, whatever. I know you talked about that with the previous commentator. That's likely to come off as well, which is probably another positive.
Thank you. Norman McKechnie, Portfolio Manager at Momentum Asset Management. It's one of those gloomy days. We're getting a slightly more upbeat perspective